taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Shakespeare said that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Well, it's also true that tyranny, by any other name, is just as evil. Though the growth of tyranny in America is nothing new, the recently accelerated rate of its growth should be disturbing to all liberty-loving Americans. From the Disinformation Governance Board to censorship, violence, and even intimidation, America today looks much more like a thugocracy than the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, unless and until we the people identify the evil of tyranny for what it is and publicly reject its legitimacy, we will continue to devolve into the despotic future so many have warned us about. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel, and you've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me today. We've got a lot to cover. There's a lot here, but we are talking about the fact that no matter what label we put on it, no matter what lipstick we put on this pig, we are looking down the barrel of tyranny and despotism and a dystopian future. And unless we start looking and acting to get off of this crazy train, we will one day live in the nasty future we've been warned about. Well, let's take, for example, the Disinformation Governance Board, or as some people call it, the Ministry of Truth. Now, it was suspended. Now, this is interesting because suspended means they plan to bring it back. And in fact, you know what they have now? They have what they call the National Terrorism Advisory System. Ooh. And it says in their recent bulletin that DHS remains focused on disinformation that threatens the security of the American people, including disinformation spread by foreign states such as Russia, China, and Iran, and other adversaries such as transnational criminal organizations and human smuggling organizations. Well, you know, words matter. See, they say that it includes this information. Well, if it includes that information, those sources of disinformation, are there other sources that they're including as well? Oh, for example, the DHS says it's targeting what it considers to be false or misleading information regarding current events. Well, like what? How about the continued proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding current events that could reinforce existing personal grievances or ideologies? All right, what are these? Well, how about the perception that the U.S. government is unwilling or unable to secure the U.S.-Mexico border due to changes in border security related to policies and/or enforcement mechanisms? Oh, you mean like the millions of people entering illegally because the Biden administration refuses to enforce federal law, that it's the program that seemed to be slowing and stemming the tide, the building of the wall, was one of the first things that the President Biden stopped when he took office? That misinformation, the repeated evidence that the federal government refuses or is incompetent and unable to secure the border, that they don't want getting out because, well, they say it's disinformation. Well, I contend not only is the greatest purveyor of misinformation and disinformation the federal government, today, right now, the Department of Homeland Security and its a National Terrorism Advisory System is one of the most, not only greatest providers of disinformation, one of the most dangerous. Senators Grassley and Hawley received documents from, I believe, from a whistleblower I've heard different reports. One said it was a FOIA request. Others say it came from a whistleblower. I'm not entirely sure. But according to these documents, that disinformation governance board that they wanted to create, well, the documents illustrate that DHS was not focused solely on foreign disinformation, but they were also focused on domestic issues. People questioning the validity of the election, the effectiveness of COVID vaccines, or even the effectiveness of wearing masks are considered threats to national security, according to these jackbooted thugs that we call the Department of Homeland Security. We might as just give them a new name. We just might as well call them the Gestapo. Dear God, you're telling me that when you bring up evidence of fraud, such as the movie 2000 Mules, such as the people being found guilty of election fraud in Arizona, such as the finding of fraudulent ballots, I believe in Georgia and Pennsylvania, that's disinformation? This isn't disinformation. The Department of Homeland Security is now officially a propaganda arm of the Biden administration. Think about that for just a second. We have an additional government agency, federal bureaucracy, whose sole purpose seems to be propaganda. Pay no attention to the aliens coming across the border. Take no attention to the evidence of fraud during the election. Pay no attention to violation of the Constitution during the election. Pay no attention to the scientific data, the scientific report showing that masks are ineffective against COVID-19 and that the vaccines have minimal efficacy over time and in many cases are dangerous. Just ignore all that because we don't like it and we're going to label it misinformation. God, are we living in 1984? Is this Oceania? How about the recent leak of a draft opinion by the Supreme Court? Now, this was, I've yet to see any reasonable explanation of why this was released other than to attempt to intimidate or persuade the justices to change their mind. As evidence, here you have Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader. I quote, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions." Let's forget the law, forget separation of powers, let's forget the Constitution. If Senator Schumer doesn't get what he wants, he will bully and intimidate the other branches of office to get what he wants. Does that sound like the land of the free and the home of the brave? Can we have a discussion? Can we actually look at the law? Can we look at the scenario? No. Gorsuch wants what he wants. He's in power. He is going to threaten you if you don't do what he wants. And guess what? We have a person. I can't call him a gentleman. We have a man from California carrying weapons and burglar equipment outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house. The reports are that he intended to murder a justice, to assassinate a Supreme Court justice over the leaked opinion. Excuse me, will Mr. Schumer be held accountable for incitement to riot? For inciting such violence? I doubt it. I guarantee you, if a Republican Senate Majority Leader, if Grassley or Hawley or McConnell had made such incendiary comments, there would be calls for them to be arrested. But you see, no. It's a Democrat, so we get. Now again, I hate both parties. A pox on both their houses. But this idea that a Democratic leader, if you are part of a Democratic Party, you can get away with anything. You can get away with calling for violence. You can get away with lying to Congress. Attorney General? What's his name? Holder. That was it. Attorney General Holder lied to Congress. He got away with it. Ignored a subpoena. He got away with it. You're Republican. You're pilloried. You're vilified. This is not, this is a thugocracy. This is what America has become, a simple thugocracy. Nothing more, nothing less. And people who are going, oh, what are we going to do? Get off of your butt. Stop pretending like there's nothing you can do. Because it's not the Schumers of the world that's letting this happen. It's not the Kavanaughs. It's not the Hawleys or the Grassleys. It's the American people. We're the ones sitting by and doing nothing while this this insanity is going on. Tell me, when did Chuck Schumer pay a price for such a dangerous abuse of his position? When has any Democratic politician paid a price for this? The answer is never. Not in my lifetime. But it gets worse. See, because these ideas have become not only toxic, but become part of American society because we allowed it to be taught to young people for generations. According to a survey from the Southern Poverty Law Center, 44% of what they define as younger Democratic men they surveyed approved of assassinating a politician who is harming the country or our democracy. Nearly half of young Democratic men would approve of this California man attempting to assassinate a justice of the Supreme Court because he believed he was harming the country. Tell me, how safe are you? How safe are you? You know, I'm old enough to remember when we used to say, I may vehemently disagree with what I have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Now, 44% of young Democrats, according to one survey, believe it's okay for political assassinations to get their way. Isn't that how World War I started? A political assassination? They're okay with it. They're okay with using violence to get their way. Tell me we're not a thugocracy. But you see, it gets even worse. Because 34% of younger Republican men also approved of the statement. That's right. A third of younger Republican men approved of a statement saying that assassinating a politician who is harming the country or our democracy is okay. How far has America fallen? Okay, so this guy who appeared to be going after Justice Kavanaugh was arrested. If a third to 45% of the young people in this country, young men in this country, believe political assassinations are okay, that the ends justify the means. Freedom, liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of thought are gone. They cease to exist in the United States. Now, Benjamin Franklin, writing as Silas Duguid, had something to say about this. He's way back in 1722. He said, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. Where does that leave us? If a significant portion of young men who will grow up to be the leaders and the populace of this country, are willing to use political assassination to get their way, Where's freedom in America? You want another example? We have more and more examples of pregnancy centers being vandalized by a group that I believe they call themselves Jane's Revenge. Again, forget the law. You know, they're upset because the court looked at a previous case and they don't like their opinion. They don't debate whether or not it was done legally. They don't debate whether the appeal. All they do is get violent. They respond with violence. That's why I say America has become, past tense, a thugocracy. If that many people believe violence is it, believe political assassination or violence against those you disagree with is an acceptable response to decisions you don't like, then we're not a republic. We're not even a democracy. Well, maybe we are a democracy. Maybe that's it. Maybe Franklin was right. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. But you know what? If the wolves lose that vote, guess what they're going to do? They're going to eat the lamb anyway. And that's where we are. We are living in a thugocracy. And there's more examples to come, but I have to take a quick break. So before I do, I want to remind you to check out HealthyCell.com. They've got a lot of great products. One of the ones I use regularly is called Focus and Recall. You know, when I'm traveling, or if I get to the end of the day and I'm having a hard time focusing on what I'm working on, I grab one of these, I take the gel, it's easy to use, you can also mix it in water, it tastes good, and it helps you focus and get the job done. Now you can find out more at HealthyCell.com. You can get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, try any of their great products, REM Sleep, Immune Super Boost, the AC11, try any of them, put together your order, just make sure you use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and they'll give you 20% off as a thank you. And also, if you would please, head to my other website, constitutionstudy.com, find more articles and videos that you can use and you can share to help us spread the warning about what's going on in America.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at just the evil of tyranny. Call it whatever you want. Now, let's take, for example, a situation involving Jonathan Large. He's a from Manamon County, Minnesota. Now, I'm not sure what this highway engineer was doing or what he thought he was doing, but he decided to take it upon himself to play cop. See, he pulled over two trucks that were traveling peacefully on a highway. He detained the drivers for 3 hours. Now, it's interesting because Large called the local sheriff, the tribal police, and state troopers because he wanted them to come ticket these drivers. Again, he is not law enforcement. Large is not law enforcement. He is a highway engineer. Now, what he had done is he had come up with a new, apparently arbitrary, weight limit for that road. He had made it up less than an hour earlier and sprung a trap on these two truck drivers. Now, the first two police officials refused Large's request right off the bat. Although state troopers did eventually ticket one driver, they dismissed the ticket the next morning. But these drivers were unconstitutionally detained. The company that owned the trucks lost revenue, and the police wasted valuable time. Now, here's the interesting thing. See, as outrageous, as insane as Mr. Large's actions were, it gets worse. You see, the company that owned the truck, CSIs, they filed a civil rights lawsuit against Large. He invoked qualified immunity, and the Eighth Circuit agreed. Mr. Large committed a federal crime, Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. He deprived these men of their liberty. He deprived the company of their property. He did so under color of a law he made up. And simply because he gets a government paycheck, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals said, nope, that's fine. You get immunity. You can do whatever the heck you want. Now, what was the court's justification? Well, they said there's been no court opinion that says a county engineer could violate the rights of someone by unjustifiably exercising law enforcement powers. Excuse me, I thought it was a crime to impersonate a law enforcement officer. I thought it was a crime to detain someone without legal justification. But you see, the courts say, oh, no, you get even a county government paycheck, and you have courts that say, no, nope, you can get away with whatever you want. Break the law, detain people, steal from them, doesn't matter. Because you're the government paycheck on government time, you get away with it. Does that sound like the land of the free? No, that's the dystopian nightmare of an out-of-control government. Got to remember, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals is part of the federal government. It's part of the federal judiciary. It was created by the Constitution. It exists, or was created by Congress under the rules of the Constitution. It exists under the authority of the Constitution, and it just wiped its collective backside with the Constitution. Here you have a petty county thug bullying people and getting away with it, according to the courts, because, well, he gets a government paycheck. You know, instead of being set free under a civil suit, the U.S. Attorney's Office should be filing criminal charges. The state should be filing. He impersonated law enforcement. He illegally detained people. He denied them rights protected by the Constitution under color of law. Those are state and federal crimes. Why are we not dealing with criminal? Because, again, you have the government bullies, the thugs, protecting their own. Now, if you think a county civil engineer acting like a king is one thing, what about Washington? What about President of the United States? See, in a press conference, President Biden says that the fact that you're paying $4, $5, sometimes $6 or more a gallon for gas, which that's a great thing because it's going to help us transition off of fossil fuels. He said that. He says we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it is over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. Gee, doesn't that make you feel better? As you watch your paycheck, your savings go to buying gasoline. What happens when winter comes? It's fuel oil. What happens to the price of electricity? All because President Biden doesn't like fossil fuels. Of course, he doesn't have a good answer. All the answer he comes up with is garbage. Current, quote unquote, renewable fuels do not supply the amount of energy we need. in the time frames we need. The sun doesn't shine at night. The wind doesn't always blow. You have to have some other backup. They won't, you know, they basically automated it impossible to build a nuclear plant. They take away they're trying to take away fossil fuels by shutting down pipelines, stopping leases, giving you only leases in an area where there's no oil. And somehow that's supposed to make us feel good. Now, of course, then the Biden's energy secretary says, "Oh no, no, that's absolutely false. That this isn't part of a plan to move people off of fossil fuels." Now, what I find so laughable is like, we want to move you off of gasoline onto electric vehicles. Well, where does the electricity come from? Burning fossil fuels. I forget what the numbers are, but renewables and nuclear are like single-digit percentages of our energy, of our electrical production. But you see, the thug in chief says, "Nope, we're going to do things that will necessarily raise the price of oil." And then, just to grind salt into that wound, they're considering adding a tax on oil and gas, quote unquote, windfall profits. So let me get this straight. You take on, the federal government takes on policies that necessarily must raise the cost of gas and oil. That's not the only reason gas and oil are going up. You had that whole thing with Russia and Ukraine, but the gas prices were going up, oil prices were going up before Ukraine, before Russia invaded Ukraine, before Russia even threatened to invade Ukraine. They were going up in large part because of policies. Policies that would actually lower the price. No, we can't do that. We're going to go after the oil and the gas companies. Why? Well, we think these prices are just windfall profits. Now, here's what's interesting. How do you define a windfall? You see, the United Kingdom has done something similar. They've instituted a 25% quote-unquote windfall tax on North Sea energy producers. So if you are going to raise the cost of producing energy, what do you think is going to happen, Mr. Biden? The price of oil is going to go up. Tell me this is not intentional. It's either intentional or incompetent. But again, you have the bully in chief going, "I don't like fossil fuels. Hey, this is a great way. We can get people off of fossil fuels. We'll just make it so bloody expensive they can't afford to live anymore. They can't afford to put gas in their car, heat their homes, cool their homes, pay for the electricity for the stupid electric cars that they can't afford. Oh, by the way, everything you purchase at some point is shipped somehow. So the cost of fuel for trucks, ships, aircraft, everything is going up. Oh, it gets even better. So not only can't you afford fuel for your car or to heat your home, you can't afford the electricity to cool your home, you can't afford anything that you want to buy, you can't afford food, you just exacerbate the inflation that's making everything else more expensive anyway. And this is their idea of progress. See, there's something interesting about progress. You have to ask, progress towards what? Sounds like a progress towards the poverty and servitude of every communist dictatorship that has ever existed on this planet. The progress is to deprive you not only of your money, but of your rights, your freedom, your liberty, your ability to challenge what these thugs want you to do. Don't believe me? A court said, "Listen, the Department of Transportation didn't have the statutory authority." They never said it was unconstitutional. They said the CDC didn't have the statutory authority to have a mandate that you wear a mask on an airplane or other public transportation. Rather than going and saying, well, okay, let's at least see if we can get that through Congress. Oh, no, no, no. The Department of Justice simply asked the court, "No, no, no, you be dictator. We don't like your ruling. We want you to change it. Self-government, rule of law, nah, we don't care about that." They didn't even care about the Constitution in you know, the Judge Mizell, who struck down the CDC mandate. Nope, didn't even care about the Constitution then. These are thugs. These are tyrants. These are despots. And you watch as your freedom is being flushed down the toilet, and the American people, we just kind of sit around and go, oh, well, what can we do? Excuse me, please, Mr. Courts, please, Mr. Federal Government, don't be mean to me. How well is that working? How about the thugs at the Security and Exchange Commission that want to propose that every publicly traded company basically become green? We want them to publish information on well, their greenhouse gas emissions or how it might harm, you know, this whole, you know, environmental societal nonsense. Oh, we want all publicly traded companies. We are going to take over the country, the companies, and we're going to say, you must now follow the social credit system of communist China. We don't call it that. We call it the environmental social grading, whatever, ESG. We're going to order it. Is there a law for it? Nah. Is it constitutional? Not hardly. But the tyrants and bullies in Washington are simply saying, we want you to do this. This has become, America is now a thugocracy. And the American people are sitting there while the bully is beating the snot out of them. Oh, sure. 16 governors decided we're going to do something. They sent a letter to President Biden. Please, Mr. Biden, don't be mean to us. You know, back in 1770s, we tried the same thing with the king. He said, sent letters to the king. Please, Mr. King, don't be mean to us. I was in an interview the other day with Dr. John Diamond. And, you know, he's got a point. We've fallen so far. We basically are setting ourselves up for a second American revolution. Because we keep sitting here begging the tyrants to stop being mean to us. You know what? These 16 states that sent this letter, I have something to say to each and every one of these governors of these states. Grow a pair. Grow a spine. You are not a subject of Washington, D.C. The Constitution does not authorize the United States to create a Securities and Exchange Commission, except to deal with interstate or foreign commerce. They don't have the authority to order private companies simply because they trade on a public stock exchange. They don't have the right to order them around. How about you stage grow a pair, stand up and tell Mr. Biden, no, we did not authorize this. You are not our king. No. And if you try to enforce this, any weasel you send to one of our companies in one of our states to try and force this will be arrested for extortion. Because that's what this is. Do what we want or else. They will be arrested for extortion. If you won't prosecute them under Title 18, United States Code Section 242, we will. You see, the states created the Constitution. The states want to enforce federal law? They can enforce the Constitution. How about when the states stop playing patty cake with a tyrant? I don't care what party the tyrant's in. You stop playing patty cake with these people. Because if not, you are condemning our children to fighting a war with these people. Is that what you want? You want your children fighting a war with these people? Because that's the only way this stops. If we won't stand up today, it only ends in war. And then the question is, who wins? The despots or the patriots? Wouldn't be the first time. Is that where we're going? You know, in Athens, Tennessee, back in 1944, men picked up guns and fought for their right to be free, to choose their representatives. I don't want to get to the point where the American people have to pick up guns to defend their rights. But if we won't stand up against them now, we leave ourselves no choice. And this is the stuff that drives, this is the stuff that gives you the passion to go out, to spend the time on the road, meeting with people, educating them about the fact that they are not subjects of Washington, D.C., that the states are not vassals of Washington, D.C., that the only way a bully gets away with what they do is because the people don't stand up and oppose him. There are more of us than of them. We need to stand up. Now, one of the things you can do is you can join me. There's a couple ways. I have my tour going on, the Blessings of Liberty tour. Find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. If I'm coming to a venue near you, please show up. I'd love to shake your hand. Tell me that you listen to the radio program. I'd love to meet and talk to you. If I'm not coming to a location near you, well, simply fill out the form and let's see if we can make it happen. I'll come speak to a group at an event. I don't care. It doesn't have to be a big fancy thing. You want to get a bunch of patriots together for a cup of coffee? Let's see what we can do. Pretty much the only thing I try to do is I do try to sell my books there to help pay for all of my travel. But that's it. So join us. Let's get together. Let us learn and share about those blessings of liberty. Also, every other week, every other Monday, I have a study online. We're doing a Constitution study online. There's a group of us that meet on Zoom, and we're reading, and we're discussing, and we're debating the Constitution, the actual language, not what the idiots in the Supreme Court try to make it mean, what it actually says. And you can join us. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/tour to find out more. And of course, let other people know where they can hear the Constitution Study. 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Listen on our media players, our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find all the links at AmericaOutLoud.com or on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast. You can find them there generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. The blessings of liberty are not something to be hoarded. They are something to be shared.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You return to the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about the evil stench of tyranny and thugocracy that America has become. And what can we do about it? I want to remind everybody of a quote from the Supreme Court case, Marbury versus Madison. It goes, "Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument." Your courts, your legislatures, your executives at all levels are bound to the Constitution of the United States. They're required to take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, to swear or affirm before they take office. So if a law contrary to the Constitution, repugnant to the Constitution, is void, why do we follow them? Well, the court said so. The courts don't overrule the Constitution. The courts are bound by the Constitution. So when, I talked at the end of the last segment that the only way this ends is if we refuse to stand up and start protecting our rights today, enforcing the Constitution, holding our elected employees accountable, holding the judiciary accountable, then the only way this ends is in war. Because sooner or later, these thugs and these tyrants will push too far and the people will rebel. And it's a natural action. It's what's going to happen because we, the people, are either too apathetic or too cowardly to stand up today. Well, how do you stand up? Well, let's start with this. The U.S. House passed a bill supposedly raising the age to own a semi-automatic rifle to 21. Now, Gerald Nadler introduced this. He called it the Protecting Our Kids Act. It's the Usurping the Rights of the People Act. It is usurping your rights. This is nothing about doing nothing but punishing innocent people for the act of criminals. And it is unconstitutional because the Constitution says right there in the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So any attempt to infringe on it is repugnant to the Constitution and it is void. But we still act like it's there. How about the state start standing up and saying, excuse me, we did not authorize that. That is not a power delegated to you by the Constitution. It is illegal for you to enact that. Now, it's not illegal for Jerry Nadler to propose it, but it simply means that the states just have to turn around and say, you know what? We don't care. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution. It supersedes any act of Congress made not following it. This certainly is not following the Constitution. I know, people look at me like I've got three heads. What do you mean, Paul? That's lawlessness. No. That is enforcing the law. Article 6, Clause 2, the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. It supersedes acts of Congress not made pursuant to the Constitution. It supersedes state law. It supersedes state constitutions. Oh, okay. So I have a law that's repugnant to the Constitution. I have to follow the Constitution. That's what the Supreme Court was saying. You want another one? They're pushing now for a federal, quote-unquote, red flag law. You know what a red flag law is? A red flag is a let's destroy due process law. The red flag laws are let's take due process, wad it up, and throw it in the trash heap of history. Because it says, on a simple accusation, without any proof, without any probable cause, without any due process, we are going to steal your weapons and you are considered guilty until proven innocent. That's not constitutional. Which means they don't legally exist. They're void. They're empty. They're meaningless. But we continue to go about our business as if, oh yeah, the emperor has clothes. The Washington, D.C. is butt naked when it comes to red flag laws, the semi-automatic rifles, but we still act like those things have meaning in large part because of our ignorance and in large part because of our apathy. And why is it the thugs and tyrants take the thankfully few instances of truly evil people, mass murderers, why do they take those instances to deprive the rights of law-abiding people around the country? You look at the number of laws where the federal government is imposing on you an action because somebody did something stupid or illegal. Simply because, all right, mass murders are awful. But you know what? Drunk driving is awful too. Did they turn around and take away your right to drive because some idiots can't, you know, will continue to drive drunk even after all the decades of programs to stop it. Well, they're trying, right? They want to put breathalyzers in each and every vehicle to make sure that, or some variation thereof, to make sure that you're not impaired before you start driving. Oh, if that fails to function, well, yeah, too bad. You see, the response of a thug is always to punish the innocent. I say that again. The response of a thug is to punish the innocent. You want to do things that will actually impact these mass murderers? Be my guest. You want to go through and say, oh, you know what? We need more, you know, people who, you know, they talk about these red flag laws. How about the red flags we keep finding about these mass murderers? How come they didn't do anything? It's not because there wasn't a law that said you couldn't, you know, that said you couldn't turn them in. There are laws. But there's a problem. There's actually several problems. One problem is, I'd love to see a study. I don't know people that does. I'd love to see somebody like a John Lott, who does a lot of work on gun violence and statistics. I'd love to see a study on the number of red flags reported that do not lead towards violence. In other words, we always focus, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Oh, this person did something evil. You look at their past and say, oh, well, they did these half a dozen things. They should have been red flags. How many people do those half a dozen things and never commit the crime? Is a red flag really a red flag? I mean, think of it this way. Again, I love auto racing. I've grown up around auto racing. And there are different colored flags. Well, if you have, you know, 10 red flags and one of them as actually means stop the race. And the rest of them just are, you know, other commands, you know, start of the race, slow down, go to the pits, whatever. That red flag becomes meaningless. And that's the problem. We assume that hindsight is 20/20, but evidence proves, life proves that evidence is not 20/20. I would love to see a report of how many reports to government agencies, whether it be mental health care, law enforcement, of people who exhibit these quote-unquote red flags, but the person never actually commits a crime. If you're going to base the incarceration of somebody, if you're going to base a theft on a quote-unquote red flag, should we make sure that those red flags are actually well documented to be valid? I mean, just imagine, you know, you're driving down the street and the cop pulls you over for speeding, but you look at the speedometer, you're following the speed limit. But the cop says, oh, well, you know, you exhibited a tendency. We thought you were going to speed. Well, why? Well, you accelerated hard from a stoplight. So did I break the law? Well, no, but that's a red flag that you might be a speeder. Or you took that turn, you know, 5 miles over the posted recommendation. That's a red flag that you're going to speed. So we're going to issue a ticket because you did something that we think might lead to something else without any proof. You see, you're innocent, but you're being punished because of an action someone else perceives might possibly lead you to something dangerous. That's not freedom. That's despotism. Now, I've talked a bit about what we can do. We start by educating our state legislators, our state governors. Find people. We have an election coming up. We need to elect people with spines in our legislatures, in our governors. And if you elect your judges as well. If they cannot prove to you that they will fulfill their oath to support the Constitution of the United States, they should be summarily disqualified for you. That's my litmus test. I don't care how many programs you promise me. I don't care how many speeches you give. I don't care how many party platform planks you can assign with. If you cannot uphold your oath to support the Constitution, you're not worthy. We need strong men and women. as I believe C.S. Lewis put it, men with chests. Someone that will stand for what is right, even when it's hard, even when it's dangerous, even when it may cost them something. We need them in our politics, but most of all, we need them not just in our states, we need them in our counties, we need them in our living rooms. We need them around the kitchen table. Neighbors willing to stand for each other's rights. Because if we do not, as Reagan warned us, we're telling our children today what it was once like in America where men were free. It's part of what I do here. We are living in that dystopian future where freedom has become extinct because the American people refuse to stand up and defend it. It's our fault. Point the finger wherever you want. Ultimately, you help make it happen. I help make it happen. You help make it happen. Because of the decisions we have made over the years and over the decades. This is our fault. And if we want to fix it, then we must stand up, defend liberty, defend freedom, defend our rights. Use the Constitution. The Constitution isn't there for judges and lawyers. It's for the American people. It's why John Jay said every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of their country and teach the rising generation to be free. Each and every one of us. Now, one of the things you really need to do is you need to learn to start asking questions. Now, I haven't gotten many questions lately, but I did get one that I wanted to cover today. It's from a gentleman by the name of Chad, and it's about foreign aid. And the question is, what is the constitutionality of our taxpayer money going to other countries without the express consent of the people? Is there state authority approving it on our behalf, or is the usurpation of our fundamental authority? Thanks, Paul, for everything you do. Well, thank you, Chad. I'm glad you asked the question. It's actually a good question, right? Because foreign aid is a hot topic. How many, billions of dollars have we sent to Ukraine and whatnot? Now, here's the short answer. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution says, Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes for three purposes. To pay the debts of the United States. Well, foreign aid is not paying off our debt, so it doesn't qualify there. But it does qualify as, it could qualify as the common defense. And that's really the question. Is the foreign aid being used for the defense of the country? The defense of the states? It can be questionable, right? Is funding Ukraine helping to keep a potential enemy in check? Maybe. Using foreign aid to support troops in Japan or in Saudi Arabia or in Germany, is that for the defense of the United States? Possibly. Then I would say, yes, it is authorized by the Constitution. We the people authorized it because it's a power we gave to Congress to lay and collect taxes for the common defense of the United States. Now, the one that some people will point out, well, it's for the general welfare of the United States. Well, understand, the United States is the proper noun of the Union of States. I have a hard time seeing how foreign aid is for the general welfare of the Union. Generally, that type of foreign aid is to make us feel better. You know, we want to prop up this government because we like this government, or we're sending money so that they can buy food and medicine, and, you know, that makes us feel better. My answer to you, Chad, is possibly. Yes, there are certain situations where it is constitutional for Congress to spend our taxpayer money to send it to other countries because we've consented to them taxing us for our common defense. But it should be only for the common defense, or only where they can positively prove it is the common defense or general welfare of the Union of States. It's not to make a state feel better. It's not to make the people feel better. Believe it or not, it's not for humanitarian aid. Humanitarian aid is not the common defense or general welfare of the United States. The only place that, you know, unless you're talking about spending money to keep, you know, to say Mexico, to keep aliens out, illegal aliens from coming in. That could be the common defense. That could be the general will for the United States. But for the most part, you're correct. No, most of the foreign aid I'm aware of does not fit one of those three criteria. Therefore, Congress is extorting money and using it illegally. But, well, that shouldn't be a surprise. Most of what Congress spends money on is illegal anyway. So, Chad, I hope that answered your question. If you would like to ask a question and you'd like me to answer it here on the radio, just go to constitutionstudy.com and click under Ask a Question. You fill out the form. There's a little checkbox that says answer it on the radio, and I will collect them together and I will answer them here. But asking questions is a very important part of being a free citizen, not simply listening to what's been told. Even what I tell you, don't, when it comes to me, trust but verify. If I've earned your trust, that is great, but I still want you to verify what I say. It's why I try to point you as to where I'm getting my information so you can go out and double check it. But asking questions, standing up, living as a free citizen, regardless of what other people around you are doing, willing to stand. As Captain John Parker told his troops at the Battle of Lexington, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Well, I say the same thing to the American people. When it comes to the bullies and tyrants at our state, local, and federal government, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Let us fight it so our children and our children's children don't have to. And please, make America Out Loud your daily stop for the latest news and information. Share the stories, podcasts, videos. Do everything we can to help secure the blessings of liberty.
Paid bills, stay out of jail. Love the neighbors and have a few good friends.